welcome back to the Tuesday edition of the Can of Grapevine. All right, so Tasha, so you wanted to talk about this, and like you said last year, we should really talk about this more than a day before.
We probably should. Next year, let's talk about it in April.
Right? Really?
Because if we come in at the end, I come in at the end of the month, and then the next fireworks are a month out for May, and then not again until July, right? So we should talk about it in April. And then I should just be screaming it from the rooftops as I often am, because people are like, oh, no, I have time. I have time. I'm like, you don't have as much time. And so today I wanted to talk about a couple of things that help, and then some good intentions that people have that sometimes don't help as much as we might think they do.
Now, some people might find it daunting, because dog training has that thing about it where people, you know, you might associate, you know, mistakes, imperfection, having to do it over and over again, not understanding, being confused.
Right.
And so these can be kind of negative associations. So when you say, you know, do it from April, it might be sort of intimidating. However, what we do learn from you month after month after month, especially if we do employ a lot of these ideas, is that it's the bond. So if we do it from April, it's not a matter of it's work. Sure, it is work, but it builds this bond that you end up understanding your pet and loving your pet, and they love you more and all that kind of stuff because of the understanding, right?
I'm going to say yes, but I'm also going to say but. I think what is most important for people to understand is that noise phobia is real. So we're not talking about training like go lie on your bed. We're not talking about sit down and be obedient. We're not talking about leash walking. We're talking about helping our animals with fear, right? And so I say start in April, but just because you start in April, or even if you started in January, like right after the New Year's Eve fireworks, even if you started then, there is no guarantee that your animal is not going to be afraid come Victoria Day, right? And it would be the same as if we said to you, go to therapy to work through some of your fears, but be better, right? Be better by this date in the calendar. So I think that's important for people to realize. So what I wanted to talk about today is not training, because it's the day before fireworks. And in some cases, I know in Wellington, they've already had fireworks this past weekend. We've had quite a few thunderstorms recently, and there's potentially some coming up. So a lot of animals that suffer through this have had to suffer through thunder in the sky already, and now fireworks. So knowing that we're on limited time, I did a quick mental note of some things that don't help as much as people think they might, even though their intentions are really good. So sometimes you'll hear people say, don't comfort your dog, because they'll make their panic worse. Right? But I think there's a difference between providing calming comfort and mutually freaking out. Right? Those are two different things. So one of the ways that people try to calm their dogs that sometimes doesn't work. Now, sometimes it works for some dogs, sometimes it doesn't. But for some animals, when they're really, really scared, your forced physical attention can add more stress to the situation than not. So let's look at an example of your dog wants to hide somewhere. So, but you want to comfort them, right? So you haul them out and you hold them really tight, because that's supposed to be comforting, right? Like physical contact is something that my dogs usually enjoy. A lot of animals, and I would say some people, if you're really, really scared of something, if you're to grab them and kind of hold them in place, particularly taking them out of where they're comfortable, where they're trying to, you know, find solace in a dark, quiet spot, we feel bad for them. And so you'll often see people go trying to coax them out. Here, have a cookie, or just come over here, come sit on my lap, or it's fine. And then once they get them out, they're like holding them and potentially then wondering why their animal is like, no, I'm not into this right now. I'm not into your restraint or your hugging right now, because they need something a little bit different, right? The second thing that doesn't necessarily help is over-the-top soothing energy. And I'm going to mimic what this might feel like for a person. It's okay. No, it's okay. No, really, it's okay. You'll be okay. Like, you're going to be okay. Tends not to be so helpful.
It's not calming
energy. It's not calming energy, right? And it's not to say that we cause our dogs anxiety, but as a human with your lived experience, you know what is calming to you. And sometimes over the top attempts at comforting, it doesn't really work, right? So some dogs will prefer quiet, calming physical attention and quiet, calming voices versus what sometimes is our panic, right? Or is sometimes our guilt and our worry trying to hold them or hug them and, you know, pet them and just, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, really, it's okay, it's okay, right? Sometimes that doesn't work as well as we might like it to. And I touched on the third one, which is removing them from their hiding spot. If you have a dog that likes to go somewhere and hide, let them go find that safe space. And one of the things that can work that you would start in April, it's too late today to really start conditioning it, but conditioning your dogs to a safe, dark room that you can also fit in, right? So if your dog likes to hide in somewhere dark, often people pull them out because we don't fit under the sofa. We don't fit under the dining table, although you could make yourself fit under the dining table. But you can mimic that safe, dark hiding space in your bathroom. Or if you have a closet that's big enough, like a walk-in closet, you could do that. We use our bedroom. The lights are off unless there's a lot of lightning, for example, because I might use the light to drown out the flashes. We don't have blackout blinds.
Sure, like dilute it, yeah.
Right, to dilute it. Noise machines can work if you've placed them appropriately. So sometimes people will just put a noise machine in the center of the room. But if the noise is coming through the windows, then you want the noise machine between the source of the noise and your dog. So between that. And then people sometimes underestimate just how loud that sound machine needs to be to dampen the noise.
So we're not talking about putting on, you know, Pink Floyd. Well, actually, Pink Floyd might be okay. Led Zeppelin wouldn't.
Right. So, but the other thing that people sometimes think about is, oh, I'm going to play a calming soundtrack. How do you know that it's calming? Have you tested that out, right?
What about the dog frequency things that you can find now?
You'd have to test that. You'd want to test that out, right? Because people say, oh, well, it's calming, but how do you know?
Okay.
Right? So there's a whole other segment we could talk about some other time. And another group of behaviorists have done some really interesting work and studies on noise and like ambient noise or frequency noise. But most importantly is if you don't know that it's actually calming for your dog, say you put on something in the living room and your dog routinely leaves the room when you put on that playlist, right? Other than like going to find steak, but they're like, no, I'm out. We use the same kind of concept for if you're using essential oils to calm your dog, you need to be able to give them the option to leave if it's something that they're not comfortable with, right? So tracking this kind of data in advance.
So that right? People could actually do today to see if their dog does get relaxed by dog frequency music.
They could, but I would say that one day is not a trend.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Like, you don't necessarily know that, right? And then dog calming music comes in so many different varieties. And if you play that some of those playlists, it's calming. It sounds like a spa. It might be annoying to you. But there's frequencies. And then all of a sudden, there's birds. Or there's rain, for example. So if you're dealing with thunderstorms and things like that, you better know that your dog is not initially triggered by the sound of rainfall because now that's in your playlist, supposedly for calming, right? So noise blocking needs to be loud enough, but you don't want to necessarily add stress, right? So heavy metal might not be the thing that you might choose. The other thing that we need to think about is that with fireworks, depending on where you are, sort of in your house, but definitely with thunder, your dogs can also feel that vibration through the air and through the floor, right? So you're not just dealing with the sound or the light. You might be dealing with what animals are able to pick up with their other senses that us humans seem to have lost a little bit, right? But for sure, with thunder, we all know that there can be bolts of thunder that shake your windows, right? And so we need to be aware that animals can feel these things as well. So those are a couple of things that don't really help. And then the things that do are building your dog your retreat cave. And you might be able to do that today, right? Make your plan for tonight. Where are you going to go? When are you going to go there? The lights are going to be off. Are you going to have lots of soft blankets on the floor so that you're not forcing them to lie where you want them to lie, but they have options of where to go and rest? Will there be extra fans? Fans help with noise, but typically not enough to drown out fireworks or thunderstorms. You might bring in your favorite snacks because you, the human, are going to be in there with them. Right? So conditioning your dog's safe space where you can comfort them, where they can be together with you, versus you trying to pull them out of their own comfort space or running around and kind of leaving them to their own devices in this room that they're not super comfortable with, right? So those are things you could do today. If we were talking about this in April, and I have in my newsletter and on the blog, there's some articles about it, there are things that you can start conditioning way in advance to help, not necessarily prevent in some cases. And then if none of these things work, or you're just not in a position to want to do that because it can take time, and you want something that is very likely to help your dogs that has history behind it, then speaking to your vet, obviously not today, but speaking to your vet about behavioral medication for noise phobias can be very, very, very helpful.
There's a plug-in that you can get that is pheromones, right?
There is.
Yeah.
It is sometimes not, for most of the dogs that I work with, that is not enough.
Okay.
So it can add comfort, but it is not enough to comfort a dog that's truly afraid of fireworks and,
right,
and thunderstorms, right? So a lot of people have a hesitation about using medication to help with that. But it's one of those things that the more your dog experiences the fear, the more they're going to experience the fear. So there are a lot of dogs I know that they'll be panting, drooling, shaking for hours. And just because the fireworks are over that one time, the animals are geared to remember things for survival. So the next time it happens, it's going to be scary again. And if we can prevent them from having that experience, that would be fantastic.
Wow. Amazing. Is there any thing that you want to talk about in 30 seconds or less?
Talk to your vet. Don't hesitate to talk to your vet. I think it's very important that people understand that. Don't be surprised if your puppy was unfazed by fireworks 3 months ago, but now is terrified because their sense of hearing is different from when they're born to when they're going to be an adult. It grows with them. So some puppies didn't care about it on Victoria Day and may care today. And then in 30 seconds or less, keep your dogs safe today. Do not take them to fireworks shows unless you know for sure that they love it. Have them on a leash. Keep your doors closed, because Victoria Day and Canada Day, also the same in the States, is when shelters and other rescue organizations they experience a spike in lost dogs.
And people don't always have their dog returned.
No.
Especially if they're a small dog.
They might not be returned. They might fall into an accident.
Yeah.
They might not make it home. So collars on tonight, tomorrow, whenever there's fireworks. Doors closed, early potty times. If you're taking your dogs out, make sure they're uber secured, because all it takes is a really panicked dog to break their leash, jump a fence, get startled. And then you're dealing with something very different.
Yeah, you do not want to be one of these stats.
No, and I know quite a few, personally. So just people need to be careful, and people always think that it won't happen to them.
Right.
But it can.
So good. Thank you so much for this.
You're welcome.
So, and if people want your newsletter.
If they want the newsletter, they pop on to the website and can sign up for it there. And if I notice people sign up and they might comment, you know, heard on the radio or something like that, then I can send them the most recent one that just went out, because it summarizes everything we've talked about today.
And your website is?
FearlessTales.com.
FearlessTales.com. My name is Suzanne O'Connor. We've been speaking with Tasha Shaw-Verbeck, who is on every single month. It's always the last interview of the month of the Tuesday Grapevine. And I want to thank today all sorts of people who were involved in our show. Craig Foster, he was involved in welcoming our guests. So appreciate that, Craig. Joe Martin. Joe Martin does not only get involved in Tuesdays and the live programming, but also he does a great job distributing our newsletter. If you want to get a hold of that, just go to our website, 993countyfm.ca. Click on the tab that says newsletter. Dave McQueen, an amazing job doing, I'm telling you, I wish you could see how he does the board all the time, especially when there's a few mics that are needed. Alexandre Lebel, merci beaucoup, monsieur, from Quebec City, and he's going to be on again. We're going to dive deep one of these days before the end of the year on something. James N.V. Wu, thank you so much for the courageous interviews they've been doing all month long. We are getting great feedback about it and really looking forward to having these two aboard as interviewers. Tasha Shaw-Verbeck, you'll hear her again next month. So we're talking about the last segment of the last Tuesday of the month that you can find County Dog, and Pearl Huckel for putting together our awesome newsletter. My name is Suzanne O'Connor, and we shall see you again next Tuesday.